Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 1 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel 22, 1 through 16. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're an avid podcast listener, I want to let you know about another podcast that I produce I think you'll like called Naturally Supernatural. My friend Caleb Harper and I delve into how the Lord works today and how you can grow in it without being weird for the sake of weird. And we interview some of the best guests on the subject you probably won't hear anywhere else. You can find us on iTunes and at the Google Play Store by searching for Naturally Supernatural. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is saying today, God. Would you speak to us, God, from your word? Give us revelation into your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into the word of God today. We're going to be in the NIV in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Will you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them there with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. Verse 5, but the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. So let's pause right there and just backtrack through this and understand what's going on. Remember, we're coming from last week. We talked about how David had taken the sword of Goliath and gone to the city of Gath, where Goliath was from. And either intentionally or unintentionally, he had ended up there. But whatever the reason was that he ended up there, he realized it was a bad idea. So he feigned insanity. He let saliva run down his beard and acted like a crazy man. And his plot worked. And Achish, king of Gath, decided he didn't want David there, and he chose not to kill him. So he sent him away. And so David went from there, and he went and he got his father and his mother. Now, presumably they were still living in Bethlehem, and he probably realized that Saul, on kind of this murderous rampage he's on, is not going to stop with just David. If you've watched any number of Hollywood movies, you know, if the bad guy wants to get to the good guy and he's ruthless enough, he doesn't just stop at going after the good guy. He goes after his friends and family and those he loves. And we're going to see Saul do just that as we go through this. He's not going to stop at just chasing down David. He's going to strike at the root of everything he can that David owns. And David had probably already heard about some of the things we're going to see that Saul will do in the future. And so David realizes he's got to get his father and his mother and all his brothers, his family, anyone that he can protect, he's got to get them out of Israel. And so he takes his father and mother and he crosses the Jordan River and he goes over to the land of Moab. And he asks the king of Moab, who again probably already knows that David is the anointed king of Israel. I mean, Achish, king of Gath, knew this. The Philistines knew this. Everybody else knows now that David is the anointed one, the one that Samuel anointed to be king over Israel. And so things are really heating up, and it's really shaping up. If you were looking at this from the outside, you're looking at this and it looks more like a civil war than almost anything else. And so these other kings, they're probably seeing David, knowing that he's the anointed king, as someone to ally with, since they've all been at war with Saul. And so even though David was one who was fighting the battles of Saul, you know, when you've got these political alignments and these national alignments, any chance you have to gain an upper hand, you take it. And so these other kings are probably looking at David thinking, well, yeah, he's fought for him, but maybe this is our opportunity to make peace, or maybe this is our opportunity actually to, have David, you know, kind of eating out of the palm of our hand. So David goes and he seeks refuge with the king of Moab. Now, we're never told this, but we're going to see, I believe in 2 Samuel, we're going to see David later on treats the people of Moab ruthlessly. I mean, ruthlessly. He goes after them and he slaughters them. And there's really never an explanation as to why. But what many scholars, the Jewish historians, Jewish history, what they say is that at some point after David had left his father and his mother with the king of Moab, not sure when, but at some point he said, you know what, I'm going to kill David's father and his mother just to break him. And, you know, possibly thinking that it would cause David to fear the king of Moab, that if he would be so bold as to kill his father and mother, who were promised refuge. And so apparently, and this is extra biblical, we don't know this for certain, but it looks at least plausible that the king of Moab killed David's father and mother. And for that, we will see in the future in 2 Samuel, David will exact a heavy toll on the nation of Moab for doing that. But I want to point out here before we move on any further that the people that come to David, you know, a lot of times if you study the life of David, you study David's mighty men and the warriors that he had and all these people around him. But this is the beginning of that troop of people. David's mighty men were birthed in this moment. And I like what our author here says, is that it says all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around. So this is a bunch of debt dodgers, and it's a bunch of people who are just unhappy with their life. I mean, this is a ragtag group of people that most of you wouldn't want around you. This is a rough, rough, rough group of people. And they're the ones that David has around him. They are the same ones that are going to become David's mighty men. It's the same people. Same people that will become David's mighty men, the great warriors, you know, the stories that will be told for centuries about David's mighty men, these noble, wonderful men. You know, they were the stories of legend. You know, we think of George Washington and people like that we tell stories of, these mighty men. They would have been, you know, George Washington and the people around him, that kind of thing. They didn't start out that way. They started out pretty bad. They started out pretty bad off. The other thing that I find interesting is even amongst these people, amongst the ones in distress, those being chased, the ones who were in debt, who owed people money and wanted to get out of it, you know, those who were just discontented, just kind of the you know, they'd be happy just blowing up the nation as it is. Those are the people that gather around David, but amongst them is a prophet named Gad. So even amongst this ragtag people, there's already a prophetic voice there. And David, and we're going to see here that David is more comfortable right now lying and kind of running away from the Lord. He's a little bit more like Job right now, just trying to run away from the plans of God than he is running toward the destiny that the Lord has for him. He's scared. He's nervous about how things are going. And there's a lot of human dynamics going on, but he's right now, it looks like he's more comfortable lying than he is doing anything else, but he's still seeking the Lord. He's still asking the Lord, what would you have me do? And we're going to see he'll be obedient for a little bit, but then he gets scared and he runs away again. And so there's a heart of obedience. There's a heart to serve the Lord. And like, you know, Jesus told Peter, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's David to a T, is there's so many times here where he's seeking the Lord. He never gives up on seeking the Lord. No matter how far away he strays from the Lord, he never gives up on turning around and seeking the Lord, no matter what situation he's in. So the stronghold again is Adullam. It's this cave of Adullam, you know, kind of in the Philistine territory south of the land of Judah. And he's staying in this cave and thinking that it's outside of the realm of where Saul would come and attack him. And this prophet tells him, the Lord doesn't want you there. He wants you in Judah. So he goes to this forest of Hereth, which is in the territory of Judah. Let's continue on, verse 6. Now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered. And Saul was seated, spear in hand, under the tamarisk tree on the hill of Gibeah, with all of his officials standing at his side. He said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin. Will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have conspired against me? No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie in wait for me as he does today." Verse 9, but Doeg the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, at Nob. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Now understand what's going on here. Saul, so David has escaped to Gath, and then he escaped to Adullam, and then from Adullam he went to Bethlehem and got his father and mother and took them to Moab, and then he went back to Adullam where all of these people are gathering around him. Nobody really knows exactly where David is until he comes back into the land of Judah, and people apparently in Judah rat him out, and they tell Saul, hey, we've seen him in the forest of Hereth. And Saul gets so violently angry, stands up with a spear, and any of those of his attendants who've already seen him when he does this have known he's tried to throw it at David a few times. He's even thrown it at his son, Jonathan. So they're probably terrified in this moment. But one of the things that he says is, and he's absolutely right, is he says, why hasn't anyone told me that David is in the land of Judah? All of his officials probably knew this. They probably knew it, and they don't want to rat David out. They like David. They don't want to rat him out. And maybe they're hoping that there's going to be some peaceful resolution to all this. Maybe they're thinking that Saul will eventually come to his mind, because no one but Saul can understand why Saul wants David dead. Everyone in the country loved David. And the only reason these people in Judah and all these other places are ratting David out is because they're more afraid of Saul than they are David. Saul is the one with the 3,000 men that he's gathered around him as kind of his own little standing army, his little mercenary army. And he's got the only standing army around with him right now. And David has this ragtag group of people. So they're more afraid of Saul than they are David. So when your life is on the line, you go with who you think is going to be the winner. And right now, the people are thinking Saul's the winner. And so, you know, they rat him out. But all of Saul's court, they all love David. They knew David. They fought with David. They like him. And so they're not ratting him out. But notice who rats him out. Remember, we pointed out that in the city of Nob, there was this man that said the Lord detained Doeg the Edomite, and it was for this purpose right here. Doeg is the shepherd. He's Saul's hired shepherd. He's an Edomite, someone who was a son of Esau, descendant of Esau from the land of Edom, kind of a modern sworn enemy of the Israelites. But Saul has him in his kind of inner circle, if you will. He's actually there in his courtroom or there around him. And Doeg comes up and says, well, I've seen him. He was at Nob. And he rats out not only David, but he rats out the priests of Nob. He rats out Ahimelech that he supplied David. Now, remember, we talked about that. Ahimelech is going to lie here in what we read tomorrow. But Ahimelech was afraid when he saw David because he knew that Saul was after him. Everyone is afraid to see David right now because they know Saul wants him dead. They don't want to have anything to do with him so far as they can help it. And so Doeg saw all this and realized that Ahimelech probably knew that David was running. Let's continue the story on in verse 11. So then the king sent for the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and all of the men of his family who were the priests at Nob. And they all came to the king. Saul said, listen now, son of Ahitub. Yes, my lord, he answered. Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today? Ahimelech answered the king, who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard and highly respected in your household? Was that the first day I inquired of the God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing about all of this whole affair. But the king said, you will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family. Now Saul right there has just pronounced the death sentence over Ahimelech and his family that God promised through an unnamed prophet in early on in Samuel and through Samuel the prophet himself. This death sentence has just been proclaimed over Ahimelech and his entire family. This is an amazing fulfillment of this prophetic word, a tragic fulfillment of this prophetic word, but the Lord has his way. The Lord will fulfill his word, whether through people who are working with him or who are trying to work against the Lord. He will fulfill his prophetic words. Ahimelech is truthful in everything that he says to Saul. He's, He's your David's your son-in-law. He's the captain of your bodyguard, for goodness sake. He was one of Saul's armor bearers. There was no one in the king's court as highly respected as David. And he was telling the truth. This is not the first time I've inquired of the Lord. But here's where Ahimelech lies. As he knew something was wrong when he saw David by himself. He knew what Saul was up to. He knew that it was probably going to cost him when he helped David, but he did it anyway because everyone loved David. Everyone honored David. And Saul sees through this lie. You know, there's no better person to spot a lie than a liar themselves. And Saul, again, he tells all of his court, he's like, why have you conspired against me? My son has made a covenant with David and you didn't tell me. And the funny thing about it is Saul made a covenant with Jonathan that he wasn't going to kill David. Covenants, his word, all of this means nothing to Saul anymore. Early on in kind of his kingly career, Saul's word meant a lot to him. You know, it actually caused him to do some things that he shouldn't have done, trying to maintain his honor. But now keeping his word means nothing to him. And that's the situation we're in now. And Saul has become so enraged that he wants David to die for no other reason now than he knows that he's the anointed king. And anyone who helps him, anyone who even crosses his path, is in danger of death now. And that's the situation we're in. We'll finish this story tomorrow. You're listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. See you tomorrow.